עצמי. It's based on our roles. My role's exposition of the Bris Bein HaBesorim. Avraham Avinu was mevakesh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should earn, in the same way that he earned the status of Avraham Avinu, that all his descendants would also have to go through those 10 Nisyonos. And I might say every Jew will go through those 10 Nisyonos in some way or another. And he's many Gilgulim who go through all of this. Hanavi Yeshaya mitnave. The Navi Yeshaya says like this: Shimo alai roitfei tzedek. Listen to me, those that are pursuing tzedek. Mevakshei Hashem. Habitu el tzur chaitz vasom. Pay attention or turn to the rock of your that you were carved out of. Va'al mekabes bo nokrosom. Habitu el Avram avichem. Vel sorit cholalechem ki echad krosov varvolchu varbeu. Avram, turn to Avram and to Sarah, because to see what this means, ki echad krosi varvecheu varbeu. Because I've called them one, ki echad krosov. They're called one, and I will bless them and I will increase them. Okay, so you have to see what this echad ki echad krosiv. What does it mean? Ki echad krosiv. So Rashi there explains ki echad korosif ki echad hayo yechidi be'eretz Knan asher higlisov sham mi'atzim al lodtoy korosov revisov v'gadlosov loshen kriya ha'ida. Rashi says, why was it? What's ki echad korosov? Because he was one. What does it mean? One. It means he was unique. He was unique in Eretz Knan, where he was sent into Golus from his birthland. And that was where he was called, that's where Hashem called him, and that's where he increased and became great. G'shem shu'e yichud v'gadolsov, kein agodol eschem shatem yechidim li. The same way that Avram was one and I made him great, so too I will make you great, because you are yechidim li, you are unique to me. Okay, what does all this mean? Avram Avinu nikra echad yechidi kaloshen aposug echad haya Avram. Mayu sod yechidi shel Avram Avinu. What's the secret of Avram Avinu's yechidi? What does it mean? He was echad because he was meyuchad. Mevur divrei Rashi, Shav Avinu haya yochid b'shah she'amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu lechetz le'eretz Knan lelo mishpacha or kreivim. Rashi says he became unique, he became meyuchad when Hashem told him to leave his land. Without family, without anything, just pack up and go. The minute, the moment that Avram left the profession of Terach, his father, when he fought against the Avodah Zarah, he was unique and alone in the world. No relatives, no nobody. He was alone in the world. Aviv Mailidu Itnakelo Vamasul Limrod Shlechotel Kivshanesh, his father, who gave birth to him, abandoned him and threw him to Nimrod, so Nimrod could throw him to the Kivshanesh. That's how Avraham Avinu got to Nimrod, was his father took him there after he bashed all his psalim. Achamar Avinu Einu Mitpel, I mean, he wasn't. That's what he did. He stood against the Dora Flogger that were denouncing him and malshing him without restraint. Who cares about Avraham Avinu? He's barren, he'll never have children. What is he? The whole world's Oyved Avodah Zarah, and he goes in his Mefalsem Esemunus Hashem Ba'ilam. The Yom of Kivshim Abba Malachim Esarufim Shehayu Bnei Anak Oig Melech Abosh and Noisem Yesarufim Kivish Nema Bakosu. V'Udugma La Koicham V'Gorosam Shel Bnei Anak. there were the four kings, there were the who conquered the giants. Oig Melech HaBoshen was left as one giant, just to show that you'd have a remembrance of what the giants, the Anakim, were. Negen Melochim Adirim Eilu Shekibshes Bnei Anak. And these Melochim that captured, that conquered the Anakim, Avram really goes to war against them. You know, don't start with these guys. These are guys that wiped out the giants. Okay, they're not the guys you want to mess with. You know, these guys. You know, these guys. They wiped out the Rephidim. Avram says no. He's going to milchama b'toch b'toch and mochlat b'tzlocho b'milchama. He goes to war against them. V'amla menatzech, and he won. V'noisav lekach unalachem keneged shitosa anoichis shel stoim. When he nitra kral me'af koyach hamotzu b'oretz, he went to fight against the narcissism of stoim. V'neshale shayle meichan shoyv amav avinu koyach ko kabir la'amoid yochid mul oilam amaloi. Where do you get the koyach to stand up against the entire world? Entire world. And not just to sit in your little hermit cave somewhere in the mountains, doing your own little thing as a hermit. You're all alone. Mamash out there battling, fighting, confronts Nimrod, confronts the Malachim, fights the leaders of Stoim. He goes to war against everybody.
But we have also, during the war, a lot of people tried to go against the Nazi, but they failed. That was too... it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who gives the power to Abraham. I don't know.
Avada, that's not a question that comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but a person has to have inner strength to be able to rely on that. Very interesting. You're asking about the Nazis. Very interesting. If you look at Hanukkah and you look at Purim, there were two very different responses. We took the two rabbinical chagim. In both cases, Kladias was threatened by an enemy, and in both cases, we went completely different. In Purim, the response was tshuva and tefillah. And in Hanukkah, the response was to go to war.
But in this case,
what's the difference?
We were successful, but...
No, but the question is, why was the response different?
Because the subject was not the same.
So what was the difference? In Achenem, it was different. What was
Purim,
different?
That was not against the Torah, that was against the Jewish. Oh. Hanukkah, that was...
Good. So the Mefarshim explain, Akobi Dei Shemaim Chutz Mi Yerushalayim. Everything's in the hand of heaven except Yerushalayim. So when you're being attacked in your Yerushalayim, that's your responsibility. You have to go to war. The Yevonim weren't killing Jews left, right, and center. All you had to do was behave like them, not do what they told you to do, and you were fine. There was an attack on our Ruchnias. There's your responsibility. You go to war. Purim, they weren't giving you a chance to convert. Purim, you were Jewish, you're getting killed. That's it. So there, going to war is not the correct response. There you have to do tshuva. This is Shemaim that's attacking you. The same with the Nazis. Yemach Shemaim, the Nazis was Purim. The Chofetz Chaim held that in Russia, with the communists, in Zviksia, and the story that Rabbi Chanan brings down, that the Chofetz Chaim held that the correct response was to go to war.
Yes.
Was to go to war against the Russians. And there would have been thousands and thousands of Jews would have been killed. And he said, in the schus of that, there would have been a Yeshua. As why didn't they go to war? He said, because there wasn't a leader. Chofetz Chaim said there was no one to lead Klal Yisrael like there was in the times of Hanukkah. But that's what he held was the correct response against communism. It was to mamash go to war. So when your spirituality is being attacked, you've got to fight back with everything you've got. When you're going to be killed because you're Jewish, no one's giving, Hitler didn't give anyone a chance to convert. It didn't help. And you converted 10 generations ago. They went and looked for your great-grandfather. If there was a bit of drip of Jewish blood in you, you were gone. There was no way out of it. So there, going to war doesn't help. There, the correct response is tshuva and tefillah. Yeah. Very important to know these different things. The Rabbi Chanan brings us down, the shame of the Chofetz Chaim. Two different responses. But the pillar that he held, that there was no leadership. There was no one to pick up the battle and go fight the Russian army. A lot of differences between Purim and Hanukkah, a lot of similarities as well. Anyway, that's not our subject right now. Although we are getting close to Hanukkah, someone has to find out what Hanukkah is also. What chashuv to know. Hanukkah has a lot to do with us today. Ma'od, ma'od. Lamaisa. All right. So that was Avram. That's what the Yeshaya Novi was talking about when he said, Ki echad korosov, you won. And he stood against the whole world. Yochid Sheba Yechidim stood against the entire world. Sod Amunoise Shalav Revinu Olav Shalom Huayadir Kish Bishvili Nivra Ha'oilam. The secret of Avram Avinu's Imunah was that he understood that the world was created for him. He was responsible for the world. If one person can destroy an entire universe, we know that Adam Arishon, so you see one person can destroy the world. The destruction or the rectification of the entire world is given over to Adam. I'm not just going to hang out in my little corner, in my little cave. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to suck in the world. Avram Avinu took a Christ for the entire universe and didn't take anything less. Rav Shach said this at one of Rav Noach Weinberg Zatzal's son's brisim. He was bris. Rav Shach came to the bris Sunday. So he said at that bris, which was long before the internet, he said, if one man can kill 6 million Jews, then one man can makarev 6 million Jews. He said about Rav Noach. Remember when Aish had 6 million hits on their website? Aish was one of the first Jewish organizations that started with the web. Their website, there's 6 million hits on their website. That's what Rav Shach said. If one man can kill 6 million Jews, then one man can save 6 million Jews. That was Moshe Rabbeinu saw by the Chet HaEgel. If Klal Yisrael can use their Bechira to go against the Kosh Baruch and worship idols, then I can use my Bechira to go and fight against it. That's one of the things you see. There's rishus in the world. People use bechira to be rishayim, so I could use my bechira to be very powerful on my other side. V'kach me'alpeinu bina harava me'iri v'pirush v'pirushu l'masechtas avos the me'iri in the beginning of Pirkei Avos af al pi sheboa kabbalah b'shem v'eivu she'uchlusoi hanim shochim achrei merubim. Even though the Kabbalah that comes from Shem Va'eva, that there was enormous people followed after them. Though most of the world followed after the failed Imunas, and the world carried on and went. The world continued and grew in the imuna, in the beliefs, the evil beliefs. And people that understood the real spiritual growth became less and less. Until Avram Avinu and he achieved everything that a person could achieve based on what he was given, based on his natural tendencies. As Avram Avinu v'Shalom ben Arbim Shono, v'Yimim Chazal b'Mokam Ache ben Arbim Shono, hiki Avram is boyre kushrois atzmo Shalom im roisel kilkul b'nei doyre. Avram was 40 when he recognized Hashem. And he saw the kilkul of his generation. He took upon himself to bring back thousands and thousands to Emunah in Hashem, and he gathered them together to serve Hashem, and he was meyachad shmo ba'olam, he was meyachad Hashem's name, and he came to destroy all the avodah zorah in the world. V'nishlomu az miyashonim alpaim shona. That was the coming to the end of the 2,000 years of Tohu, of desolation. There was no one that would call out in the name of Hashem to return people from their sins. And that's where the 2,000 years of Torah began. Miktoich mabat chiyu vize al kol ha'ilam kulu hu nosa tfile gam al stoy shel chorev. With Avraham Avinu's understanding, positive understanding what the world was all about, he even davened for tstoyim, that it shouldn't be destroyed. L'marot she toshvei ha'rishoyim. There was nobody who philosophically, ideologically was more the antithesis of what Avraham Avinu was. Hashem comes along and says, I'm going to wipe out your worst enemy. You say, good, cool, I'm not getting in your way. You got someone who mamish is antagonizing you, who bugs you, is fighting against you, he believes in everything you don't believe in, he goes against everything you believe in. Hashem says, I'm coming to wipe this guy out. He's not davening, no. Take him out. This is the worst case scenario. Hashem comes and says, all right, listen, no more of these Arabs. I'm going to take them all out. Don't start davening for them. Don't kill them. Please, please. If there's one righteous Arab, please save them all. What is he doing? Always bothered me this. Amlam loya lo omam kol sig v'siach achudaiglem ki heima yumaisi yodov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though Avraham Avinu had nothing to do with them, he had no benefit, no nothing from them. Aval, these are Maisa Hashem. Hashem created them, and he was worried about Hashem. He davened that Hashem should save them, that should be chayzer b'tshuva. He poil b'toich achriyusoy shel ben adoig lekol nechosov shel ovi b'kol makom shahem. Like a son who's worried about his father's possessions, his father's properties, wherever they are. The son's concerned that his father's property should do what the father wants. So Stoyim had hit Mamash, the lowest of the lowest, the worst evil, the worst scum in the world. But Avraham understands that these are Maisa Hashem, and he wants there should be shalom between the father and the children, and he wants them to be chayzer b'tshuva, say davens for them. Yehudi ha'oved es Hashem kavan ravinu mitnanen ma'oid b'matzav ha'ruchoni shal kol b'roilo. Someone who's serving Hashem with Avraham Avinu's mahalach, he's concerned about the ruchness of everyone in the world. Ru'enu chadal melagoyz betafkino lekorv es lev Yisrael la'avim shal shamayim ul'havos kovod shamayim b'roilo. He's worried about kovod shamayim in the world. He's worried about himself, he's not worried about me, he's worried about mayim Hashem. Kuzu ha'yisa l'mayse d'musa shal moron ha'chofetz chayim zeket tzadik v'kodish l'brocha. He was worried about everyone. The Jews of Europe needed chizuk in halacha, he felt. So he wrote the Mishnah Brura. He toiled and sweated 25 years. He was locked up in a room to bring out the Mishnah Brura. You understand what a work the Mishnah Brura was? Which every Jew should learn. Maybe that's what we'll do here next. Avu Yehudim shezrosoi betzava kosev eskibura machan Yisrael. Jews were going to the army, so he wrote a book especially for Jews in the army called Machan Yisrael. V'noisev l'kachu nertam l'kol pilus ha'kshura l'avoydus Hashem v'lo nitzah mikshim. He was worried about everybody. Everybody was worried the whole time. He heard about a flood in Minnesota and he called a fast in Radom. Called the fast in Radom because there was a flood in Minnesota. How long after the fast? How long after the flood did he find out about it? Could have been months. There was a flood in Mississippi. Sorry, in Mississippi. There was a terrible flood. Thousands of people left homeless. The prophet's come heard about it. If I heard about it, it must be a reason why I heard about it. So they called the fast in Radom. Should daven for the people. Should do tshuva if something's happened. Well, it's based on a few yisoides. First of all, it's based on the yisoid that everything that happened in the world happened to Klal Yisrael. The second your thought is, if I know about it, there must be a reason why I know about it, otherwise why do I know about it? Today it's hard to see that. But in those days, you knew very little. It wasn't mass media and you know, like, today, because I know about it, because I know about everything, because today we bombarded. So it's hard for us to be sensitive to this. But imagine the Chofetz Chaim sitting in Radom, 6 months later, he finds out there's a flood in Mississippi Delta or whatever. There must have been Yidden living there, I don't know. It doesn't matter. The Prophet started crying once because he heard about a volcano or an earthquake in Japan. Why? Because it means the Jews, if there's an earthquake in the battle, for the Jews, we have to do tshuva. I think he's going to bring it down here, somewhere it's brought down here. He was worried about everybody. Oh, yeah, he's here right now. He's in China, so where Dorish b'beit ha'knesses ha'gon lifnei ha'kal v'kach ha'oimeh. He used to travel a lot, the Chofetz Chaim used to travel a lot in his life. He used to go and say, he's sorry, he's doing tshuva and getting people to do tshuva. It was very oisik in Kirun, people don't realize. Louis Salcelante as well was traveling halfway around the world. Louis Salcelante died in France. What was he doing in France? He was being Kirov. You realize that. So he said in the Beis Midrash Shagolli, in front of the entire community, he said, "Kishyesh rida adama besin va'anoshim o bahem soivlim tzarech kol echad lachshev et cheshbon nafshe." There's a earthquake in China, and people and animals are suffering. Everybody needs to think and do a cheshbon. Ma kelkalti u'ma chatosi shebe'iti korason. What did I sin and what did I destroy? So that because of me there was this tragedy. Who lives like that today? Shakola naisa b'kol oilem begini hu b'shvili nivroi. It's all for me. The first Rashi in Chumash, if you have any moon in Rashi in Chumash, that's what he says. Bishvil Yisrael, Hakadosh Baruch Hu created the world because of Klal Yisrael. Bishvil Torah, Bishvil Yisrael. It means everything happens in the world is for Klal Yisrael.
But what can you do today when there's so much, you know so much about all the bad things that are going
on? To tshuva. To daven it, to be tshuva. Before all of that, you have to recognize that it has something to do with me. I heard about the fires in California. California, all the pretzels and all that, whatever. These are the thoughts of the Yetzirah sticks into your head. You're the first thing you hear. You don't think, oh, wait, geez, what did I do wrong? I've got to get my act together. You have to be careful. You have to maintain your levels of simcha, and you have to maintain your levels of equilibrium. But you need to know that when things are going on, you have to be responsible.
Rabbi, I just have a question about that. I know a little bit about California because I lived there for a while. People that build houses in forests, they build them on top of a cliff. So no, a big rainstorm or flood, the houses fall off the cliff. When there's a rain, it often rains in these, when there's a fire, it often burns in these forests. They choose to live in those places.
Nachon, their cheshbon with Hashem is their cheshbon with Hashem. The people that go climb Mount Everest and then there's an avalanche and 20 people die, whatever. Nachinam here, what are you doing on Everest? Lama tasham. I asked you to go climb mountains. Yeah, in a chinami, they've got to do the dimur chesh with the kodesh baruch hu. But we have to, as the Chofetz Chaim said, when something's going on in the world and someone's suffering or whatever, we have to ask ourselves, ma chatas, what did I do? Nish poshut. Chlal lo poshut. As you're right, it's not like a yara about a flood once every 6 months or whatever, and a yara about it 6 months afterwards or whatever. We bombarded with news. Everybody knows everything about everything, and you don't have to go to China. under my nose. How many sick people do you know about that need tefillah within a 1 kilometer radius of where you live? Does all China today? And you know, how far is Hadassah from you? No, you don't have to go very far to get in touch with Bishvili Nivra.
Years ago, that might have actually stood out because the moment I would have got a message from that. Like what I'm saying, like everyone's kosher to do if you see it. But today we're so like whatever that it's hard.
Nachon. How many mushalachim come into shul every morning about some other issue, valid issue, I'm not saying, yosoimim, surgery, colors getting right. Like, so, where do you, kama, ben adam, you hold his ball, how much can you suffer? That was the mind of the Gdol Yisrael, they could suffer everybody. From Moshe Rabbeinu all the way down. What made a God all the Torah was somebody that could care about everything in Klal Yisrael. Big, small, little, not big. Rav Kornfeld told me he was once a moil at a bris. Rav Chaim was in hospital. They weren't sure if he could be the Sunday at the bris because they didn't know when he was getting out of hospital. He was in hospital. So they said, you can take a chance, you can come to Letterman's at 10 o'clock in the morning. If Rav Chaim's at hospital and he has the coat, he'll be the Sunday. If not, then... So the Baal Simcha decided he wanted to do it. So they schlepped, they went to Bnei Brak, and Rav Chaim got out of hospital. Rav Kornfeld told me when he saw Rav Chaim, he got a fright. That's how weak he was. He just got out of hospital. He was very, very schwach, but he came to do 2 brisim like he always did. Now the chair that the Sundek sits on is very high. You know, the Sundek's chairs are very high. So the Gabbai said to Rav Chaim, since he couldn't get onto the chair, it wasn't kasher for him to get up onto the chair. The Gabbai said, you'll sit on a low chair. They turned around to the Gabbai and said, but it's not comfortable for the moil. It's not comfortable for the moil. If I'm going to sit on a low chair, so I'll climb onto the... And then mama, she struggled and battled onto the high chair. Why? So that's a godel, because the little things are bothering him as well. Well, on the one hand, he's got the whole of Klal Yisrael on his shoulders, big cosmic issues going on in his life. But on the other hand, that doesn't take away one drip from the incredible caring that he has for another year. I heard a maisa on Thursday. Why did he come maisa? Of Ari Finkelzatzel, the Rosh Yeshiva of Meir Brachfeld, Rabin Yomans father, whatever. So he, his Rebbetzin was nifte, and the family were trying to organize him another shidduch. So he told them, you must do your birurim very, very carefully, because once I've met you, I can't say no. Meet Rav Arya Finkel, and he says no. How can I do that to somebody? So make sure you do your birurim carefully, because once I've met you, I can't say no. Caring, the sensitivity, this is your shalom bayisit. This is your, the rest of your life living with somebody you don't want to live. This is your. That's godless. That's being able to absorb everything. I mean, the mice of all mice were the way Rabbi Yisrael Salanter lived. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was in Paris. He had no family there, no one. And he realized his days were numbered. He was about to die. So the community, there wasn't a full community. The community arranged somebody to look after him. They gave him a room. And they got a caretaker to look after him, give him what he needed, look after him, whatever. So Rav Yisrael Salanter felt that he was, you know, his time was coming close, and this poor guy was going to be left in the alone in the room with a dead person. So he spent his last moments reguing the guy that everything's going to be okay. He asked him if he'd been in a room with a dead body before. The guy was, no! I said, don't worry, let me explain to you what's going to happen. And he explained everything to him nicely and calmly until he was sure this guy wouldn't be freaked out. But I'm the corpse! You know, you should be worrying about like holy things before you're about to die. No lachat, no intensity. Explained to this guy what it's like to be in the room with a dead body, told him exactly what he needed to do, and when he was completely sure that the guy was going to be okay and whatever, he passed away. Because the last thing he did in his life was make sure that this yid, who he didn't really even know, some strange yid in Paris or whatever, shouldn't be freaked out. You would think that a person's about to die, he'd want to use his last minutes for, you know, for holy zachar. No. That's my chiyuv right now. This is what I'm going to do. You have to explain to this guy what a corpse is. Are you the corpse? Son? We want a musag what that means. You can't even begin to understand it. That's the sin. That's being able to absorb everything. That's greatness. That's the definition of godless. No. That's why the word for greatness in the Loshon of the Tanakh is gedula. What's Gedula doing there? It's Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes. How did Godel sneak in there? Because that's what Chesed is. Chesed is Gedula. Who's the Godel adore? The biggest Baal Chesed. That's Klal Yisrael's approach to life. We have to stop.
I used to learn my name when there was a rock, but I think it was my name himself, I didn't know him, I had no connection with him whatsoever. And we went to the Chola Shul to Davin, I think, Mincham maybe, or Shachar Shana. So the guy who was going to show me, he took me there, and he just mentioned after Shachar Shana, I've never saw him, he says, oh, he's a chassan, and he's a chassan getting married today. I've never spoken to him in my life. He grabbed me, took both my hands, and he started singing around in a circle, dancing, singing, Shana, whatever I'm singing, smiling away. I'll never ever forget that, and I just think just smiling what I've said. Care for another year, like, so you tell me someone
says
getting married, like,
who mother told me, I'm telling
you what's lachen,
goodbye,
see, he's like, I'm like, I don't even know this man,
that's godless, it's easy. Baruch Hashem. I remember your chassan. I remember your chassan, I will.